Sunday is really about Jesus Christ declaring death has no sting. Oh, death, where is your victory? Christ has conquered not just death, but he's conquered sin. And he has conquered the greatest foe and enemy, Satan himself. And one day, he will cast that enemy into the lake of fire. And that enemy will have no more chance to throw his schemes and his wiles and his doubts and his destruction at anyone, but let alone the church of God, whom is his enemy. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection is most important. He is the only one who has risen from the dead. If you're not already in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look from verse 1 to 20, read it, and I just want to highlight four things. But this passage is where the Apostle Paul defends the resurrection as the most important thing in our faith. Our faith hinges on whether Jesus Christ would rise again or not. And I want us to remember and highlight these four things, that we are first called to remember, to be reminded. And we are to remember what? We are to remember the most important thing. And the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that it is the gospel that is the most important thing. For there will be adversity. And he's telling this almost 2,000 years ago. Christian, there will be adversity. There will be trial. There will be doubt. Even in your own heart. But he lastly finishes, stand fast in the facts. Keep the facts. Keep the faith. Be convinced about what truly has happened, as we're going to see in verse 20 at the end. Let's just read through this passage so that God's words speak to us this morning. And may God use his words to impact us as we look at the importance that our whole faith hinges on this resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you don't have a Bible on your phone or you brought one with you, there should be plenty in the pew. If you have to share, that's all right as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. And here is where everything hinges, verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Verse 20. The stone, the rock, the declaration, the creed in which the church stands. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. In fact, Christ has been raised. The Apostle Paul begins, though, by first telling us, I want to remind you, and you've heard this before, it's a broken record in Scripture, it's constantly saying, remember this. Let me remind you of, do not forget. Because the writers of Scripture knew, they were just like us and understood this faculty, this gift God has given us called the brain, how it forgets. Some of us put our car in drive and we realize it's not even running. At least the newer cars, you can't even hear them anymore. Some of us get out and shut the front door and realize we don't have our keys or the car door. Some of us get to our destination, maybe a birthday party, a shower, an anniversary, and you're looking for the card and the gift. It happens to us all. We forget. Some of those things are pretty important. Like this morning, I forgot to release the kids early so they have time. Do you know what they're going to make? They're going to make resurrection rolls, which are these rolls with marshmallows in them. And when they bake, the roll is empty. Of course, right? Did you figure that out? I had to think about that, but the marshmallow melts, and inside is the empty tomb. And now I've just really given those teachers a challenge to try to do that. I even forget to release the kids early. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel. The gospel that Paul preached. He then says, the gospel that you received, that you heard and said, that's what I've been looking for. Your heart was moved and melted and you received that good news. It's also the gospel in which you stand. I'm telling you, there's sometimes days where things crumble or plans fall apart or a vehicle breaks down and you also get another call about something that breaks your heart. And you realize, all I have is Christ. All I have to stand on today is that he will never change. He won't break. He won't fall apart. His promises are sure. It is His gospel in which we stand. And I love this in verse 2. It's also the gospel by which we are being saved. It is a gospel that we receive, but we don't just receive it and that's all. This same good news that Jesus was buried, that He died, and that He rose again, conquering Satan, sin, and death. It says that we are being saved by that gospel. We are constantly in this transformation process by the grace of God, that He is changing us. And He puts a caveat in the end of verse 2. Unless you believed in vain. And the reference to this vain belief would be His next argument that those even in the church were saying, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, what if the resurrection had not happened? Well, then we would all of every people group and every nation be the most to be pitied if the resurrection did not happen. Our faith would be in vain. But we're called to first be reminded and we're shown what is most important. Did you see that there in verse 3? I delivered to you. This is what I preached to you. And we see this testimony of the Apostle Paul. And this must be the testimony of all churches, even today, that call themselves Christian. This is the most important message, the gospel. We cannot go without it. We cannot adopt something else. We cannot be convinced that other things are going to change people. Other things are going to work. Even I get tempted. Just do this, Paul, and do this, or say this, or preach this, or change how you might do this. But the Word of God says the most important, the first importance, what Paul preached and what he received from the Lord Himself, was that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he gives some evidential truth to that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, that's the reference there, to James, to the disciples, to the apostles, to over 500. And then he appeared to the Apostle Paul personally. The apostle was convinced, for Jesus had met him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 8 and 9. This is of first importance. Church, we can never get away from the truth of the gospel. The gospel was necessary. We were dead in our sins, Ephesians 2 says, with no hope. Lifeless is what that word means. But Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who was rich in mercy and love, showed His grace to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. It's a gift of God. Do you now get why Paul uses this word receive? Which I received, which I want to remind you that you received, which I want to remind all of us that we have received this gracious gift from the Lord. And I tell you, it's so prevalent today that we are told No, this is the most important thing. Or our hearts are shown other things that become our most important priorities. For myself as well. The church even is being told, preach other things, make other things the priority. Change this, change that, get rid of the word of God. Mention a few verses here and there. But I'd be scared if I fell away from what was most important. And honestly, I would believe a lie if I embraced anything other than the gospel to change lives. It's not a personality. It's not how amazing an event happens or goes. It's the word of God. It's the gospel that changes lives. And this gospel, this most important thing, hinges on this crucial day of celebration. It hinges on the resurrection. And that is where we will be seen. Maybe we will experience ourselves adversity. Maybe not just about the resurrection, but about Jesus and about his historicity, or about him being the Son of God, or about him being the perfect God and the perfect man incarnate. You will receive adversity in some form or another. You may have doubts in your heart this morning, coming in on Resurrection Sunday. Did he really rise again? That's okay. For we take our doubts and we bring it to the Word of God. We take our wanderings and we bring it to the Word of God. We take our questions and we bring it to the Word of God. And Paul, the apostle, says, if the resurrection had not happened, we in this room who are here worshiping Jesus, preaching about Jesus, convinced that he is alive, reading the news all over the world of churches and Christians in persecution doing the same thing, we all would be most to be pitied, for we would be following the biggest lie ever. And he makes this argument because he is trying to tell us all how crazy that would be, how incredulous that would be, how ridiculous that would be, that we would all, and church fathers and the disciples and apostles and churches throughout every century, would give of their lives, give of their time and their money and their service for a message that wasn't true. And I pray this morning, I was just reading how Easter Sunday and assurance, it all hinges on this resurrection truth. If you in your hearts can say, I know that he exists, I can tell you personally what he has done in my life. I can tell you what I have seen him do in other people's lives. I can see the evidence of testimony after testimony, of church after church, of a changed life after a changed life, that he is not dead. He is alive. Alive forevermore. I could go into all the evidences of his resurrection, We might even look at a small side story at another time. The fact that even women came and witnessed the tomb first, for back in that day, women were not heard. They weren't trusted in terms of given factual statements that could go to the law and the courts. It had to be the men, and God chose that women would witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ first. God chose that a woman would be the first, and a group of women would be the first to see the risen Lord, to have him show up right before them. Even before Christ appeared in the room with the disciples. And even as we read here, the evidence that Paul, the apostle, gives of all that he showed himself to, how would we have these liars going around making up this story? What's amazing, too, is we have four gospel accounts that he is risen. And all four of those don't say the exact same way in which they saw the resurrection. They're not said in the exact same way of how they observed it. You know, if they were trying to make up a story, you would think that all four of those accounts, when it got to the resurrection, they'd all just be copying off of this little book that was being passed around. No, these were eyewitness accounts. This was true life, real stories. It's like someone who witnesses a scene and four people are there. They're going to have different opinions of that same account. They're going to say it in different ways. As we see in the Gospels, they're going to emphasize different parts of that resurrection. But there will be adversity. That's why the apostle says, I need to remind you. I want to remind you. I needed to be reminded this week. Just reading through 1 Corinthians 15, my heart was just welling up in excitement going, he's alive. And if he's alive, well, everything else going around me, it doesn't really matter. My life is in his hands. If he's alive, that means one day I'm going to be alive with him. If he's alive, then that means this is not my home. All these things that are whirling around in my mind and the responsibilities and the circumstances and did I remember this? Did I do this? Did I pay this bill? Did I fix that? Yes, they're all important. But the most important is when I went through that chapter, and the Lord reminded me, welled in my own heart, he is risen indeed. His message is true. It is the most important thing. It grounds me. It helps me to stand firm in the faith. And I would pray it helps you as well. For after we've been reminded, after we're told of the most important thing, and especially when we hit adversity, doubts, maybe even persecution through a friend or a close family because of your faith, maybe you've lost connection or relationship because of what you believe, you can hold fast and stand firm that, as verse 20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And I want you to catch that beginning. But in fact, Christ has been raised. It's a fact. There's too much evidence to prove that it didn't happen. There's too much personal testimony to prove that it didn't happen. You would have to call so many liars. You would have to call the Roman government a sham because even they paid men to go out and lie that his body was stolen. They had to pay someone to create lies. They saw, they knew what actually had happened. And that has been the scheme of Satan all the rest of the days of this church age that we're in. Is Christ really who he says he is? Has Christ really risen from the dead? He tries to put lies and doubts and seeps that into our everyday connections in culture with things that we read or things that we hear or people that we talk to. Yeah, you can talk to me about God, but please don't talk to me about Jesus. Yeah, it's okay to mention that, but don't mention this. And this message of the resurrected Savior, this is the message that our faith hinges on. For if he did not raise from the dead, our faith is in vain. But I want you to go this morning encouraged and celebrating because, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. This is not a lie. There are too many things that convince me, and I pray convince you, that he is alive forevermore. And if he is alive, then all of his promises are true, and that means that he is coming again. Just as the angel said, as you saw him go into the sky, he will come again in the same way for his church. This morning, I just want to end by asking, I pray this is a reminder for you, but what if this morning is the first time that you're realizing, I have to believe in this risen Savior? If it's real, if Jesus is real, then everything about him is real. Then his forgiveness of sins is real. Then his life, his perfect righteousness is real. His death on the cross in my place is real. The judgment that he talked about is real. His call for repentance is real. And I shouldn't wait, I can't wait any longer to trust in this real Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't want to just see this as a good story or something I go through the motions with. I want this to be real. Just like even this week for me, the question is, could you push everything else away and say, if I had Christ, I have enough? Because he is real, and everything he says is real, and he is all I need, even this morning. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, I count everything else as loss in comparison to Jesus Christ. To gain him is to gain the whole world. Can you say, as the church here in 1 Corinthians 15 said, I have received the Savior? The offer is for all in this room. It is a free gift to confess our sin, to say, Lord, you are real, and I've been playing a game. I've been toying around all this time. and I don't want to do that anymore. Could that be you this morning? May this morning be a reminder that what is most important is the gospel, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and that he is truly risen indeed. And if that is true, then that should change each one of us. It should allow us to say, as the Apostle Paul said, you know what, I can push everything else aside and say, I have enough because I have Jesus. I can let go of my past. I can have peace about my future because in this moment, I have Christ. He has forgiven me. He has made me a new creation. And I get to look forward in hope of what he, the real risen Savior, is going to do. I pray for you this morning. The resurrection is real, and you are convinced in your heart that it is true. Jesus Christ is true. And that this reminder will cause you this morning to be able to celebrate. Maybe for the 100th time, but maybe for the first time, that Jesus is your risen, living God and Savior. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this resurrection day. Oh, Lord, lies were made. People were paid to say that you were not raised from the dead. Arguments have been continuing ever since and continue even to this day, trying to prove that you are not alive, that you are not God, that you are not the Savior of the world. But Lord, let us hold fast like the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian church. May Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hold fast to this truth. In fact, Christ has been raised. The evidence is overwhelming. I didn't even speak of the internal confirmation that comes when we ourselves are convinced that Jesus is alive and he has changed our lives. Lord, only you can do that by your Spirit. Father, if there is anyone in this room this morning who hasn't cried out, confessed, said, I am done trying to do this on my own. Jesus is alive, he is real, and could we all say, I am letting go of everything else if I have Jesus Christ? There might be one in this room who for the first time wants to receive that gift of salvation and trust in Jesus Christ. Then they can join with the rest of us that can say, Jesus Christ is enough. He is alive and he is all I need. Everything else pales in comparison. Even maybe the adversity that I am experiencing, the adversity maybe that you are experiencing, it pales in comparison to having Jesus Christ as our Savior. God, thank you that we are a church. You brought us together. This is your doing. And as Jesus Christ was raised, the promise is for us. We who are in Jesus Christ, we too will be raised with him. And we will live and be with him forever in glory. And there is no greater peace than to know that we are in the hands of Almighty God. And Lord, maybe there's one this morning who is now coming into that rest and that peace and that assurance for the first time. Savior, Lord, Master, you are risen indeed. In Jesus' good name, amen.